Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Sunday Night Live. We have Michael Munu with us tonight. How are you, Mr. Munu? I guess I should call it Pastor Munu.
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you on the show. It's always a joy to and fun to listen to what you have to say. You are fun.
I enjoy it as well.
So remind our listeners who you are, where you're at, and just a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, my name is Michael Munu, and my wife, Keitha Munu, we kind of tag team all sorts of ministry. We pastor in a little town in northeast Texas called Poetry. It is near another town called Terrell, Texas, which has been on the map a lot longer, but Poetry has been on the map for about 2 years only. Been pastoring here for a while. Been pastoring in northeast Texas for, I think, right at 17 years now. Before we pastored here, we have been on pastoral staff at another church in Dallas for several years there, and then also worked for a couple of different ministries. And so, but we're also traveling ministers, and we are one of the biggest things we do on the road is we teach. We teach quite a bit. We do a lot of preaching, but we teach quite a bit. Our mandate, really as a teacher, really just goes up when we're on the road. And then, praise God that signs and wonders always follows the word. But we just we love to teach the word because we love learning the word. And, there's so much we're learning that we just love to stay full. We were in Nebraska last week, and before we left out to go minister there, I was like, man, I got about seven directions. I am so full to go. I've got to hear what the right direction is. And so, but I kind of knew. And so we had a great time up there. And so yeah, that's what we do. We minister on the road and then we minister here at our church.
Well, that's awesome. And so, did you mention, surely you mentioned the Little Moose. We got Moose.
I do. I've got twins, Max and Mackenzie Munu, and they are 13. We're homeschooling this year. This is our second year homeschooling, and I think I could say we love it because we love being around them, having them with us. I think they like it. I don't know if they're going to admit it, but we travel so much. We just travel so much, and quite honestly, they love to travel. And so, this year alone, they've been in I think 10 different states this year. Just for all kind of ministry. And we try to, when we're on the road, ministering, we'll always make sure we do some fun things, while we're on the road. Since they're homeschooling, we try to do a lot of history, trips where, like this year, one of our trips, we did go to Fort McHenry where the Star Spangled Banner was penned. We went to Gettysburg. We rode horseback across the Gettysburg battlefield. That was just really awesome. That was just something. And then several other trips and got a few more. I think, I'm not sure if we have any, I think we have some history trips planned for the fall, but we have some ministry trips planned. We try to incorporate some fun while we're on the road.
Well, that's good. So I'm just curious because I can imagine, it seems A lot of people are looking into or interested or have gone to homeschooling. And I'm just curious, you know, is there a particular program that you use or anything like that that you might would recommend to anybody that, you know, you found that works really well for you guys?
You know, so this is our second year. Last year, we were given a bunch of various curriculums from a lot of friends that were teachers at a school that they used to go to, a Christian school they used to go to. And so I don't remember all the names of those. However, this year, I kind of pointed in a specific direction of a curriculum that I knew and knew very well, and it is going to shock you. We are doing ACE this year.
Are you serious?
I am serious. So I grew up probably my whole middle school and part of my high school going to an ACE school. And really the reason why I picked that is because, number one, they get a lot of Bible into you, information. And I wanted a more structured program to get more Bible into my kids. But also, you know, my wife is not a school teacher, and I needed to get her out of the classroom, or what we would call the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I knew to do that was the ACE program, because it is self-taught, and I feel that it's it explains things very, very well. And then also, there's some mental structures that it requires you to build, and it helps you build, and that is organization, self-pacing. It's a lot of self stuff, and it just kind of puts a demand on the student to, puts the pressure on yourself, not on a teacher, you know? And so,
yeah.
So I liked it. And this is our, I guess this will be our third week doing it, and I would say they are getting used to it. They're not used to not having an instructor, so that's kind of the thing. And so you know, they zip through the instructions, and so that's what my son is having to really realize. You need to read the instructions out loud and read it a couple times, that way you actually hear yourself and know what the instructions are, and which is a super important skill in life, because there's a lot of things you got to figure out yourself. And of course, we're available, you know, to help out and whatnot. And so we're really, I'm liking it. I think my wife's liking it. Her stress level is a lot lower.
Well, that's good. You know, I really, there's a lot of things I like about ACE, and especially the memory, the verse memory that they incorporate into that. And they have really good word building, spelling, and, you know, teaching them a good base in that.
Yes, I would say their word building is probably better than most schools, and so that's what we're actually, one of the challenges we've dealt with is they have not, spelling is not really a big thing in a lot of schools anymore, believe it or not. I don't know why, but yeah, there is a challenge for them to increase their vocabulary, but also their level of mastery, you know, because one of their close friends, they all went to private school together for the first 6 years of life, and now one of their friends is in a public school, and then our two is their, you know, the homeschool, and you know, we pick their friend up on school for school on Wednesdays, so they can all go to youth that night, and she'll just, you know, tell us some of the stuff as far as spelling goes. I'm like, man, there's not a whole lot of learning going on there. And you know, we want to raise some smart kids. And And, you know, we want That's them right. educated. We want them, you know, what we call street smart, common sense. And so we're just incorporating a lot of that. This year, my wife, they are doing a live writing class, online writing class. And then I think my wife has some other things just to kind of mix it up. But as far as the main topic, we're doing our history. We're kind of actually doing it ourselves. We haven't jumped into the history paces just yet. We'll do that next year. But there's a few things that we are doing ourselves, because we have some, history has been a big thing for me ever since I was young. And so, so they're pretty astute in the area of history.
Well, and you know, they are, and it's Christian history. It's not,
yes.
they put all that in there. They don't leave it out like some of our textbooks that, you know, we have in public schools.
You know, that is true, and that's a bigger reality than people know. We were in Philadelphia earlier this year, and we did a tour, kind of an American Heritage tour, and basically we saw the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall and where the Independence, you know, where the Declaration of Independence was signed, and mm-hmm. I mean, it was really cool. But our tour guide was very interesting, and we picked it up really quick. That she was against George Washington. She didn't talk, you know, she didn't mention anything good about him. She just mentioned the whole slavery thing. And I'm thinking, wait, what happened to American history? You know, and mm-hmm. and then when we went to Betsy Ross's house, and she didn't really promote Betsy Ross regarding any kind of flags. There, this tour talked more about Betsy Ross being a woman entrepreneur. And so just, you know, there was lots of different slants that we felt like they were trying to leave history and create a new, and I hate to use the word that's so big now, a new narrative regarding history, and really the whole George Washington and the founding fathers, they really brought about the, you know, the fact that everybody had slaves, but they left out the reality that, you know, nobody, sadly, back then had slaves, but not everyone was for slavery. And history will tell you that, you know, a lot of those men actually by law had to keep their slaves and could not free them because the society was a class society and would not even allow, you know, slaves or for the most part, people of any kind of color to walk normal. I mean, you know, you have to realize socialism is a class system. Now, the reason why I know this well is because my ancestors are Indian from India. And it's a class, very, very much so, still a class system there. In addition, the British society back then was a class system. You know, most of the European societies were. So it was normal. There were good people who knew it was wrong. You know, but then there was the whole, mm-hmm. the whole understanding of, and again, you hate to mention slavery quite a bit because that seems like a hot topic, but really, here's what happened. This is what we've had to come to find out, you know, because there are some people that even, you know, are against Bible things because of slavery in the Bible. But here's where slavery in the Bible came from. Whenever the Israelites would conquer a nation, then the people, there are some nations where they killed everybody. But then there were nations where God allowed them to live if they would comply. And so they had two choices. They could be slaughtered or they can become the servants. Now, you have to realize that God had rules for people who did have servants, and they were to be treated well. And so as far as that goes, why their choice was to serve. Now, again, the word slavery, it wasn't like the term that we use today. They were servants, and they were treated well, and God required them to be treated well. But, I mean, the option for them was to be slaughtered. So they were grateful to be alive and grateful to be treated well. Now, as time went on, as far as Israelites goes, that's where slavery came from. It came from they conquered a nation, they subdued a people that were trying to kill them. And so it was honorable to allow them to live. But that's how that came. And the problem was what happened, was some of these people, as they served in, let's just say, plantations and farms, you know, the people of the owners recognized, this is cheap labor. And, well, as time goes by, here we are, fast forward to, you know, England, or Europe in the 1600s, 1500s. You know, there was a class system, and some of those people knew because of the generations was they understood having servants, but they did not understand how they got those servants. They were sparing people's lives from the beginning of time, I guess you can say, So in their eyes, okay, well, we always had somebody else helping or serving. Hey, let's capture somebody. Well, that's not the will of God. The will of God was not to capture a people to enslave them. And so they did it wrong. The Europeans did it wrong. But sadly, that became a part of their society. And so, this is kind of where everybody is you just lose sight of what's right and wrong. And, you know, like Hitler said years ago, I believe it's a statement he got from Satan. If they believe a lie, if you shout a lie loud enough and long enough, they'll eventually believe it. And people's hearts, their consciences were seared against right and wrong. And so it's just like today with the abortion issue, people are more against slavery. That's not really a thing right now. They're talking about slavery in the 1600s, 1700s, but yet they're okay with, you know, killing babies today. And so we just have to keep our hearts moldable to the truth of the word and make the topic be the topic God has for us and not just make our own, you know, problems or whatever, you know. And, you know, it's important that this is one of the things, and I forgot where it's found in the Bible, but it talks about what is the fear of the Lord, hating what God hates and loving what God loves. And so that, for me, that's real simple because it's so clear in the word. And that's how we got to wash our conscience. You know, our conscience, you know, the voice of our spirit is something that we could pervert or taint or stain with cheap living, with sloppy living, you know. I was with a minister one time, and a minister that works with teenagers, and one of the things that we had talked to him about was, you know, was there need to be some, for lack of a better term, there's some dress code issues with some of these kids, and you know, girls ought not to be showing stuff that they're showing, and I'm old school, but I'm also I understand things, but at the same time, this was crazy, and there just needs to be at least a line to help young people understand right and wrong, And so their question was, their statement to me was, well, I'm afraid if I tell them that they'll think that we are just being legalistic. And I thought, you know, the pants that a girl was wearing, it looked like underwear. I thought she came out of her room without her pants on. And I'm looking around like, does nobody see this? And they have a name for it. And I don't want to use the name because it's a derogatory word, but at the same time, If you accidentally glance, it really looks like she ain't wearing nothing, and there's nothing. And so when this woman told me this, are we being legalistic? My thought was the word is gone out of this woman, and I thought, you know, how can a minister not know right and wrong? But it's real simple. When you don't feed on the word, your conscience loses its calibration, for lack of a better term, and I thought, oh dear God, how easy is that? Well, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 2 where it says to give more attention to the things that you have learned, unless you let them slip. And the word slip is a nautical term from shipping industry, and it means to slowly veer off course without even noticing. And so if we don't have our daily time in the Word, then we can slip off course and not even know it. Matter of fact, we could, as ministers, we could be starving ourselves to death and have no clue. And see, that's where, you know, because the Bible says that to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, because one who is a hearer only deceives themselves. So, you know, when we are deceiving ourselves, then the enemy gets a break, and we don't want to give him a break. You know, we want to be filling up on the word so much that we keep him busy trying to deceive us. But when we're not keeping our conscience calibrated, you know, by the word of God, by constantly hearing, and that's where Jesus, you know, he said this in Matthew chapter 4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the word W-O-R-D in the Greek is the word rhema, which means a written word that is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Or you can say this, a now word, and I like saying it this way, a wow word. So in other words, the verses that you've read 100 times, all of a sudden you're reading it and boom, it just explodes at you. Well, that's God speaking to you. That is a rhema. That is a now word. And that's how we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to live by just what we have learned. And I kind of say it this way, you know, where Jesus said man should not live by bread alone. I say it this way, that, you know, bread is what we can fix for ourselves to eat, but rhema is what God fixes, and that's where good. We get the nourishment. And so I do start out with the logos, or with the bread, but I'm looking and I'm listening on the inside as I'm reading on the outside. I expect the Lord to speak something through his written word. And that's what's important to realize what a rhema is. It includes the written word. Because if it's a word from the Holy Spirit that's not including the written word of God, that would be then considered the gift of Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy, or a prophetic word, and that does not include a scripture verse. But when it includes a scripture verse, that's what a rhema is. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God combined together for revealed knowledge. And so we as ministers should be receiving fresh word, fresh stuff from the Holy Spirit together with the written word daily. You know, that's a daily thing. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. So in our feeding ourselves, we should be looking for the Holy Spirit to feed us also, because he'll keep us up to date on what we need to know. One of our church members, she's really on fire for God, and I just love when she tells me on Sundays. She'll say, you know, Pastor, that was right in line with, she's going to online Bible school from a very good Bible school, and she said that was like right in line with what this minister was saying, and then she said, I was listening to this other minister, they're saying the same thing. Well, I thought, well, praise God, because God is saying something very specific to the church in general, and then he's saying something specific to our individual churches. And so, you know, I always tell her, say, look, I don't look for a message. I really believe God for what he would have us to hear on a Sunday morning. And then our mandate also is not just our church, but we go to the church. And so we what is it, Lord, for the church is that they need to hear. And so staying full is super duper important, because, you know, we talk about the Jesus talking about building a house on the rock and not the sand. Well, you know, what I found is when you don't feed on the word of truth over time, what rock you did build your house on becomes crumbling sand. And, and so we have got to get full and stay full. We just, you know, faith doesn't come by heard. What you heard, faith comes by hearing. And matter of fact, in Romans 12, in Romans 10:17, where it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word is also the word rhema. And so faith comes by hearing rhema, not just what I got from Bible school 10 years ago, or what I remember growing up and listening to this stuff and hearing this word, and I remember that verse as a kid or whatever. But faith is what you get right now, a rhema, what you get right now from the Word of God. And so it's not based on what you have heard. You know, I tell people this a lot. I've got degrees. I got 2 degrees. I got multiple diplomas and certifications from training and from Bible schools and all that kind of stuff. But I don't even put them on my wall, because all that signifies was a time in my life that I made some sacrifice, went through some effort and achieved something personally, but that's not how I live. That's not what I live by right now. I live by faith in the Word of God that I got this morning, that I got yesterday. And so it is vital that we as believers are getting fresh revelation from the Word, and we can get it. We can get fresh revelation.
You know, one of the things you talked about, you know, in our quiet time and you know, spending time in the Word, but one of the things that I think about is how do people spend their quiet time in order to hear from God? And so if you could talk a little bit about that, because I think sometimes we get confused, or we think we either do too much or too little, or, and I don't know if you could do too much, but they're like, what does quiet time just really mean? What does that mean?
Excellent question. I'll start with this. You know, David said this. He said, early will I seek you. And that's just I'll bring that phrase. One of the things that I have to do is I have to get up before my kids do. I got to get up before my wife does. And the reason why, the Spirit of God lives inside of us in our spirit. You know, we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. That's the part of us that gets born again. Our body doesn't get born again, and our soul doesn't get born again. We are a spirit. That's the part that goes to heaven. We have a soul, and if you know, studying out the word soul in the Bible, you realize that actually the soul has more to deal with the mind, the will, and the emotions than anything else. And so, you know, we are to renew our minds constantly. Matter of fact, that is one of the things that we have to do every day. As a matter of fact, I'll say this: you can't walk in total victory if we're not renewing our mind every day, because the battlefield the enemy is completely skilled at is attacking your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings. You know, if I wake up tomorrow morning and I feel like a girl, well, that's because the enemy attacked me and is going to see if I will bite, if I will accept that thought. And so maybe what happens if we don't answer these thoughts the enemy throw at us, or these impulses? You know, once again, I think, you know, one of the things psychology and psychiatry fails to help understand is there is a real devil. That doesn't fit the model of psychology. And so psychology has to have a different answer for some of the things, because we can't say that the devil creates impulses and all that. But if you read the Bible, study it, it does talk about where the impulses come from, the enemy. There's a verse that talks about how David was moved to number the troops when God told him not to. And that word moved is one of the definitions is the word pricked. He was poked. He was moved by the enemy inside his soul, not his spirit, but his soul. And so we are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. And so I say all that to say this. Our soul can be loud with thoughts. Our body can be loud with doing things. And so the time that I am my brain is the most still is the time that I demand coffee. And so the morning, you know, the reason why we need coffee in the morning is to wake us up and get us going. I mean, some people, you know, you don't want to even talk to them until they have their first cup of coffee. You know what I mean? Well, the reason why is because your brain was sleeping. And so there's less noise. And so when I talk about my quiet time, it's the time where I am focused only on one thing, and that is the Word of God. There's not even the birds are chirping when I get up, and that's important. You know, I live out in the country, and so, like, honestly, like right now, as the sun comes up, you're hearing the shotguns go off for dove season. And so that can be a distraction. during duck season, I got a duck habitat right down the street, and so it's like a tank war going off, boom, 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 boom. And so, but I have to practice focusing on what I'm reading and focusing on the inside, where my spirit. And so my quiet time is me making my body stay still, not allowing any thought that jumps into my mind, which the goal of every thought is to take me away from thinking about the Word. And so I'm getting very, very still, because God doesn't speak to your body. God doesn't speak to your soul, because God doesn't live in your body. God doesn't live in your soul. God, or the Spirit of God, lives in your spirit. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so if I am one with the Spirit of God, then I should be able to hear him inside. You know, my spiritual mother used to say, you have a knowing in your knower. She called our spirit our knower. And so what I'm practicing, this is a practice, is what we refer to as listening to the inner witness. And that really is the one of the primary ways that the Spirit of God in you will lead you, is from him inside, or that witness inside, by the Word of God. But here's the thing, it's the Word of God that helps you develop the inner witness. So you're not hearing voices in your head, because those are two different places. Your head and your heart are two different places. And we are growing at listening for the inner witness on the inside, being led by the Spirit of God, because the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And so God wants to lead us by His Spirit on the inside. And that's something that just doesn't pop and all of a sudden it's happening. It develops, our knowing and our knower develops as our spirit man is developing. And that is by growing in the Word, spending time in personal praise and worship, praying in the Spirit. And then also, I do have to throw this out there, because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so what that's saying is that we've got to walk in purity. We've got to walk in holiness. Be ye holy, even as I am holy, for perfection. But if we're not, here's the thing the Lord's been showing me lately, and it's been very, very corrective. So for three weeks this summer, there's a couple that my wife and I, we spent a week with in Fort Worth at a conference or South Lake at a conference. Then the very next week, they came with us to Belize. So I spent a week with them in Belize. And then 2 weeks later, we spent a week with them in Florida. We did some ministry in Florida this year. And so we spent 3 weeks with this couple. And when I came back from spending 3 weeks, I noticed that two things really were a big deal that I picked up by hanging out with them. Number one, that my prayer life needs improvement. This couple, their fellowship with the Lord is awesome. And it wasn't that I felt condemned, but I felt stirred, a conviction that I need to have these type of people in my life that will show me things. And so all that being said, because I hung out with people of prayer, I desired prayer. In addition, people that have a solid marriage, I was praying. Again, this is 3 weeks after 3 weeks being with this couple, I was praying one time, and I was just worshiping, my personal worship in my recliner. Lord, I honor you. And here's what I heard in the inner witness, in my spirit. I heard this: honoring your wife is honoring me. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, I knew it was God. But honoring your wife is honoring me. And I thought, oh, but see, that shouldn't have surprised me, because I was spending time with a man who honors his wife so much, and the wife honors him so much, and they flow together in ministry. And so all that to be said, when you hang out with a holy God, it shows up in your life. And so, so I know people that are, but they don't hang out with God. And it's not a judgmental thing. I mean, someone told me one time, I knew a minister that used some really bad language. And I just called him out on it. I'm like, what do you teach people? How to cuss and be perverted? And I overheard later on, somebody that was with them said, yeah, they said you're judgmental. And I thought, judgmental. Okay. So if I go to a dentist and they don't know how to be a dentist, but they're a good mechanic, if I don't call that out, that means that I got a problem. Cause I don't know what a dentist looks like or what they act like. I think a dentist, if a dentist knows more about cars than about teeth, and I don't say something, I am complicit. And so I'm like, if they don't, not smart enough to realize, I wouldn't condemn me. I was asking them a question, really. And what are you pointing back to them? It was just very simple. What are you teaching these people? if you use language like this. and so all that to say, part of our time with God is correction. It's instruction. In the Hebrew, the word for correction is the same exact word for instruction. So in other words, if he's correcting me about something, that correction is actually the instruction to get me to the new level and the new place and the new season. So in our quiet time, we get quiet. We want to make sure that there's no disturbances. And if you got to put your phone in a different room so all the buzzing and all the bells and whistles that go off don't distract you, then that's important to limit those distractions. And see, keeping our mind focused is a trait that our society doesn't promote. Bible talks about focusing on one thing. And so we've got to really develop. And I heard a minister say this, a great, great minister. he said, you know, he started ministry in the late 30s and 40s in McKinney, Texas. And he said this, he said the house in Garland, Texas that him and his family lived in, he said the walls were so thin. He said his two kids, he had a boy and a girl back then. Well, he still does. They were in the next room playing around. They were so loud, making noise. And he said, you know, I couldn't say anything to them because they're kids. They need to play around. And he said, I just had to learn to develop the powers of focus, as I spent time with the Lord. And he said, and really it was a big deal because that man went on to be one of the greatest Bible teachers on the planet. And so all that being said, when I heard that, I thought, you know, that makes so much sense because everything else, you know, in the morning, it seemed like everything comes running at you. If my son gets up, he wakes up talking, you know, and he'll come right into my living room and jump on my lap or try to scare me or something, you know, and I'm like, good gosh, son, I'm just trying to pray, read the Bible. And so when it comes to quiet time, we get still and we try to limit our distractions so we can begin to listen on the inside. And we've got to learn to quiet our thought life. We can quiet our thought life, and we have to. We've got to learn to take, listen, if we can't take dominion of our thoughts, we can't take dominion anywhere else. And so the primary place of developing the authority of God and dominion of God is in our thought life. Take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take the past captive. People are dominated by thoughts of the past. And common psychiatry says you can't do that, but the Bible says you can. So we're going to have to really make a choice what we're going to believe, but we can't play the game of riding the fence. And so that's what quiet time is for me. It's where I'm quieting myself so I can hear, because as I'm reading the Bible, the Lord will speak. You'll have it. There's no better way to describe it than saying that you'll have a knowing in your knower. You'll just know.
Well, you know, as you say that though, I can hear some people that are saying, yeah, but I think I hear the Lord, but I'm not for sure if that's really him or if it's just me or if it's the enemy. And so what would you say to those people who are like, I just don't know if that's God or if that's me, if that's just something I want to do?
That's a super good question, and you're right. I believe probably a majority of folks will ask that. And of course, you know, that question sometimes can easily come up with me also. So here is what I have been taught and what I've been practicing. Number one, is it scriptural what I'm hearing or I think I'm hearing on the inside? Is it scriptural? Can I find it in scripture? And so that's why we have to know the word of God, because the enemy wants to mislead us and make us think it's God. But if we know scripture, then that's the way to avoid that. And we have to understand the devil knows scripture. I mean, you know, we know that from Matthew chapter 4 when he was telling Jesus partial scriptures. And so all that being said, that's the number one thing to start with, is we've got to know and judge all things by the word of God. And so if you hear something on the inside, an instruction or something, then judge it by that. Another one is judge it by the law of love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, and all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. And so if it agrees with the law of love, then it most likely it could be God. Now, this is one of the things that a lot of people have a hard time with, and that is when they've come to that place, so they feel like those, yes, it's God. Okay, then step forward. Go ahead and take that step, because remember, we are developing our hearing. That's what we're doing. And the more we step out, the more we'll know and hear. Now here is the deal, and I understand a lot of people don't like to hear this, but when you have spiritual leadership in your life, that's one of the things they're there for, is to help keep us on the right path. And so there are times where you need to go talk to somebody, maybe a spiritual leader, maybe you have, hopefully our pastors are that, but there's also people in the church that you trust, you respect, that they know the word of God. And so talk to them. Iron sharpens iron, you know, and then there's accountability there. There's a proverb that says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so with that, talk to someone who knows the Word of God and that can help you in that area. So like if it's a specific detail, so if you're going to, like you're getting a job or whatever, you don't know which job to go to, and their easiest way that I've been taught and I'm still developing is following peace. And anyone that teaches on the inner witness will tell you, and this is where I learned it from, will tell you that learn to follow peace on the inside. And so how that is, and probably the most wonderful, simplest understanding they teach is the traffic signal. The traffic signal. So we say this, okay, so if you, we'll use the term, oh man, I don't think we're supposed to go that way. I've kind of got a check in my spirit. And so we'll use that phrase, a check in our spirit. And that's like the light is red, don't go. The light is red, don't go. Peace, when we have peace, that's a green light. And we'll say, well, you know, I feel like I have peace to do it. Go, if you have peace to do it, basically you don't have a check. But listen to the thing about peace. Peace has an expectation to it. Peace has some excitement about it. You know, there's some things the Lord's been dealing with us since, I guess, November of last year. Big decisions, hard decisions, but he's really making it easy because we have so much peace and excitement about it that we're like, man, Lord, I'm ready to go. Let's just do it. And so all that being said, peace comes with an expectation, kind of an excitement. Now the other one is, so that's the green light. Now the yellow light, and that's where people miss it sometimes. They'll say, well, I don't really sense anything. Should I, you know, what is that? Okay, so the yellow light isn't an expectation, and it isn't a check. Now some people think that if they don't have a check, then go ahead and go for it. But here's what I've always learned and what I practice right now is if you don't have that excitement, if you don't have a check, then go ahead and keep doing what you have been doing. Don't change anything. And if you keep moving forward in that direction, maybe the direction of a job, direction of a purchase, direction of a relationship, if you'll just slowly, the key is, a yellow light don't mean rush in, but the key is if you'll walk slowly, just keep going where you were going the whole time until you get a check or until you get that piece, just keep walking in that direction. And if you're walking in that direction and you're not getting a check, then you're probably going in the right direction. See, that piece is when we're having to make decisions that we're not pointed in the right direction yet. And so there are times where we are pointed in the right direction. And it's not that we're looking, it's not that God's going to send us that peace to confirm we're going in the right direction, but we won't have a check. And so, because see, a lot of times our daily walk will align us in the right direction. And so that's why people say, well, I'm not always hearing, not always sensing that peace about things. Well, it's because it's a common direction and you're going the right direction. And so the Lord, you know, there's not a whole lot of leading that has to go on right now. Now, I always say this, and this is what we're trying to practice, is just because I'm going in the right direction, I know the right decision to make, doesn't mean that I have the right timing. And so still be led by the Spirit. You know, take one step in front of the other. You know, the scripture in, Ephesians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The word walk literally means one foot in front of the other. So in other words, you just pay attention to every step, but keep stepping. But pay attention to every step. Don't just take giant steps. Keep moving forward because God will confirm it, you know, and that's good. We like that confirmation. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how I begin to judge what I'm sensing. Now, let me just say this because, you know, even ministers that have been doing this and being led by the Spirit of God way longer than me, who we learn this stuff from, they'll say this and they'll tell you this and they'll teach this. They don't say, God told me this and God said that. They say, I really feel like God said this, or I feel like this is direction, because we're all fallible. We all can make mistakes no matter how long we've been doing it. And so it's very important that we don't just blow out there, God said this or God told me this. It's good to say, because we're growing. Everybody's growing. Every person's growing. And so it's better to say, you know, I really believe this is the direction God's had me to go. And the reason why it's good to say that is so that when, if you've come to find out later on, that's not the direction to go, it's not as embarrassing saying, you know, I missed it there. You know, I totally missed it there. And so it's easier to say I've missed it when I said, I think this is the way I'm going. But when you say, well, God said this, well, then, and then you realize that wasn't God, then what are you going to say? Well, I guess it wasn't God. You know, I would rather just tread lightly and walk softly, you know, because I'm learning. I've been in ministry 30 years and in the 30 years, I did not do everything right. Matter of fact, I'm not sure if I'm doing everything right now, but I'm growing.
That's right.
That's what grace covers your mistakes while you're moving forward. Grace is not for standing still. And so people, you know, this whole license to sin thing with grace, I don't know, I've never used that term, but the problem is people want to use grace that aren't moving forward. They're just hanging out doing nothing. That's not what grace is for. Grace is for moving forward, to cover you and your mistakes while you're moving forward, while you're growing in Him.
That's good.
Well, thank you. We're learning.
That's right. Hey, you know what? And that's just it. That's what we have to realize as believers, as Christians, that it is a learning. You never stop learning. There's always something to learn. And if you ever get to the point where you think you're done learning, then that's when maybe you might want to, you know, have a little more quiet time with the Lord and see what He has to say.
That is true. That is true. There's, you know, and one of the things that I've heard this before, and it really makes sense. Our knowledge of the Word, it's kind of like an onion. There are layers. And, you know, I could a good example, I've been reading the chapter of the day of the Proverbs since I was 18 years old. Now I'm 51 now. Had to think about it for a second. And so I think my son and I got on a calculator and figured I've read the book of Proverbs 300 and something times. And I can honestly tell you that almost every single day when I read my chapter in Proverbs, I get something fresh. Now, I have read everything 300 and something times. If you started me off, I might be able to quote the book of Proverbs. I doubt it. But all that being said, there's a layer that comes off every time I grow. And it's kind of like this. If my son reads Proverbs now, then when he's a year older, he's going to understand more because his understanding grows. And then when he's my age, his understanding is growing. And so your understanding grows, which means that same verse will now have more to say because my understanding has grown since yesterday. And so that's the reason why we can't ever say a sermon before, oh, yeah, I read that verse before. No, there's more to it because our understanding has. And that's why we got to be careful with our degrees and diplomas. I'm not against them, but we got to get the right mindset. We can say, well, you know, I got a PhD in religion or THD, whatever. And, well, that don't mean you know nothing. That means you know what somebody else taught you. that's all that is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you know, I like to have a time where we can pray for our listeners. And I was wondering if you'd just be willing to pray for our listeners tonight, maybe in their growth, you know, in the Lord or whatever, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But would you be willing to do that?
Yes, absolutely. We'll just pray right now. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to minister to people, your people, people you love. And Lord, I just thank you that you do have greater things for them. Lord, your word says that eye has not seen nor ear heard. Lord, the heart comprehend the great things you have in store. But Lord, your word does say in Ephesians chapter 2 that you have revealed them by your Spirit. And so you want to. And so, Father, tonight, for those that are listening, I thank you that according to your word in Ephesians, that the eyes of their understanding come alive. God, that they'll have a fresh knowledge, a fresh revelation of truth of your word. That, God, a hunger for more of the meat of the word begin to stir up on the inside. And, Lord, like David said in Psalms, that he'll begin to see wonderful things coming from the written word. And so, Father, today I just thank you for helping those that are listening to grow in hearing your spirit on the inside, to know you in their knower. And, Father, with that, I thank you that as they spend time with your spirit and with your written word, that, God, their growth will spike. It'll begin to increase, and they'll go higher and higher in you for the purpose of knowing you, not for the purpose of being spiritual, but for the purpose of knowing you. And so, Father, I thank you that those that are listening, maybe there's some people listening, God, that they feel like they have a hard time understanding the word. But, Lord, I thank you that your word says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And so, Father, I declare in Jesus' name that from this point on, because they're doing what you said to righteousness for things that are right, God, I thank you that they're going to have a hunger for the word. And, God, they're going to have an understanding of your word in a fresh, new way, because that's what you want. That's a God desire in them. That is your desire in their heart, to know the word, understand the word. Now, Father, I thank you that as we are in these last days, Lord, that knowledge of the word, that understanding of the word, Lord, these people, I'm not talking about just ministers, but people, everybody, will grow in the word, and Lord, they'll minister to each other. And Lord, they'll minister at work, they'll minister at the store, at the auto repair shop, wherever they be. God, I thank you that they'll teach people Jesus, not just get them saved, but help disciple them. So, Father, I speak blessing over them now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit is faithful.
Yes.
And, you know, I think about as we are seeking God and we're having our quiet time, you know, that's the one thing I love about God, is he talks to us in a way that we can hear. And it may not necessarily always look like what your friend says or anything like that, but that God is a God that knows our personality and what
yes,
we can
that's
hear.
That's true.
And that's just, you know, that's just one thing that I would like for our listeners to remember, that it doesn't always look like what you hear around you.
Yeah, that's true. That's something that's not really mentioned much, is that God does speak to you in the way that you understand and you hear. I've heard many people talk about their fellowship with the Lord, and I'm like, wow, that the way that God speaks to them sounds exactly like their personality. And God knows us, and so he'll speak in a language that we understand. That's why it's crazy to say, well, God is so confusing. No, because he knows how we think. And so he's going to minister to us and communicate to us in the way we think in order to help us change what we think so we can know what he thinks.
That's right. You know, and then you had talked about, and one of the things you prayed about was discipling people, you know, helping us to disciple other people around us. You know, I was doing a Bible study, and it was talking about discipleship, and it was talking about, you know, if you will go, you know, because going out and we lead people to the Lord, which is a great thing, but then what comes after that? And that's discipleship. And so that was one of the things that the study was talking about, was if we will take that, you know, not only just lead them to the Lord, but then, okay, disciple them and show them. And when once they are strong, or, you know, where they can begin to move on, because I think we forget, or we think that once we're saved, all of our problems go away and everything works out just because we ask Jesus into our heart.
Yeah.
And that's not the case, and that's where we
that's
need to
correct.
Be practical.
You know, that is so true. And I heard, I was listening to a message yesterday from a minister, and one of the things this minister had said, she said, if pastors aren't teaching people to renew their minds, then they're not teaching people victory. They're not teaching people how to grow. They're not teaching people anything, because when we're saved, when we get saved, our brains don't change. Our thinking doesn't change. I've seen people that got saved, and I've seen people quit drinking and quit smoking, all that stuff right away. That's great. That's a miracle. But that's not always the normal thing, because we still have addictions. We still have different things that can happen. And so all that being said, we've got to begin to help people renew their thinking, because the Bible says you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, a kingdom of light. which is a kingdom that functions by light. And the Bible says light is the word of God. So we've got to be showing people how to function in a new kingdom, function with a new system, the kingdom system. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So the kingdom is a system of heaven operating on the earth. And so with that, we've got to teach people. We've been really helping our people with that, and we have a weekly Bible study where they can come and ask any question, and a lot of them will ask questions they got from different people they minister to. And what our people are doing is I challenge them every Sunday after we teach on Sunday. I tell them, hey, now go tell someone everything you learned today. And so that's kind of what they're doing is because they'll say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know everything. Well, you don't have to know everything. You just need to know what you heard today, you know.
And right.
So they're getting what they're learning for the purpose of telling somebody else. And I've got people ministering to folk with ministering healing to people. We challenge people to frequent the same stores and restaurants so people can see your smile. And one of our elders came in last week on Sunday and said, Pastor, I went to the Dollar General in my town and I see the same ladies all the time, and they know me and stuff. And one of them finally asked, he said, well, you always have a smile. You've always got something positive to say. And he says, well, thank you. He said, that's Jesus in me. And she said, yeah, that is Jesus. And so, you know, as simple as that.
That's simple. Yeah.
You know, I think he prays for everyone he sells a cow to. You know, somebody comes to his house to buy a bull or a cow, and he'll pray for them. I mean, he'll get a word of knowledge for them, you know, and speak over them. And I mean, they call him back. it's funny.
Yeah. You know, that is awesome, because that is having that boldness of our faith.
Yeah.
Every order of business that we go in, it's not just in the church, but it's everywhere that we're at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And that's where, you know, the we've kind of got that idea of go hide in the church till the rapture comes. Well, that's not what Jesus said. He said, go unto all the world. And Ephesians 4:11-12 tell us that, you know, the purpose of the fivefold ministry is training the body of Christ to do ministry. And so seeing people, in the town I live next to, Quinlan, Texas, there's a church up in a totally different town, Caddo Mill, Texas, right in front of the Whataburger, which is a main intersection. It's the intersection of Whataburger and Walmart. They threw up one of those pop-up canopies, had their church T-shirts on, and had signs saying, stop here if you need prayer. And I thought, well, that's going to the world. That's going out there.
That's
and just
right.
Being out there, being available, and that's such a big word, be available. Be available.
And that is really it's something that we really have to stress, because we have things to do in our life too, and we have places to go and things to do, and it's something we have to work at to be available.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're here for that. We're not here for, I'll just say it, we're not here for soccer, but soccer is okay. We're not here for sports, but sports is okay. We're not here for this or that, but those things are okay. But we got to make sure we're not neglecting while we're here.
That's
right. We tend to neglect while we're here.
Yeah, and those things, God can minister to people through those things with
through
you
those
there.
Things. Yep.
Yes, and taking Jesus with you to those soccer games and to those football games. Well, Pastor Munu, I really do appreciate you being on the radio. Can you believe we're about out of time?
Well, thank you for having me. Well, I talk long, so it doesn't surprise me.
I mean, it always goes so fast, but that's what, you know, talking about the goodness of God and who he is and what he wants for us is, I mean, that's good stuff. You can't,
God is so good.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, there's so much in the Word to talk about.
That's right. That's right. And so we just want to say good night to everybody, and we pray that you have a sweet sound sleep tonight. And
yes,
as you start your week, that you are blessed in everything that you set out to do. And we're going to sign off for tonight, and we'll say good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless y'all.